of your smiley faces. So I had so much that I really feel like the Lord's talking to me about in the area of the topic of abiding. And so I started this last week, and I even said, or not last week, you're right, about a month ago. And then I said, I'm going to continue, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. In fact, I can tell you that there are some things that I'm just not even going to get to today, and so you're going to see me in a month from now, and then I will continue then as well. But that way we can just kind of take a bite of this and chew on it and process it with the Lord and come back for some more. So I'm going to pray again. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this place. So grateful. As all of us, like we our weekly reading in the news about places throughout the world where churches are being shut down, attacked, terrorized, closed, burned, just all types of struggles, and to be able to have a place to come to worship, Lord, where we consider it a privilege to come here, not an obligation. Lord, we thank you for this place. We thank you for this body. We thank you for the revelation that you have given here about restoring your tabernacle, and that this is part of your end time plan to bring the church and establish your kingdom here. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to fan your flame of faith in us, Lord. And as we talk about abiding in you, Lord, I just pray that you would let anything that's not for me fall to the ground and let your spirit speak into the hearts of everyone here so that we could actually leave changed because we encountered you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so a lot of the emphasis of what I was talking about last week, and I still might kind of come back to that. I think I might just do a little bit of reviewing, but just was really the idea of, we're abiding in the God, the Almighty God of the universe is inviting us to abide into relationship with Him. And this God, all powerful, all knowing, everywhere, is loving us, and it started with just that before even the words that we're going to talk about that were penned in John, you know, the Godhead was existing in perfect fullness of love, but God's love really demands to be expressed and shared, and so that relationship between the Godhead is something that we are invited into. I used a little kind of a picture that I feel like the Lord gave me of seeing God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is the Trinity, and it is God in three expressions, just like holding hands. And they're in this circle of perfect unity, abiding in the fullness of the love for one another. And what happened is that is the relationship that we're invited into as well. It's like we're being brought into that circle because that same love that the Father has for the Son and the Son has for the Spirit and the Spirit has the Father is the abiding love that that the Godhead has for us. That same level of intensity that they have for one another is the same love that they have for us. And I don't know about you, but that is really difficult for me to get my head wrapped around. All I can do is just keep asking for revelation of what this means. So, but if we could just think about the fact that the goal of the Lord is to return the earth back to the fullness of his love, right? The fullness of his love. So if we can imagine the Godhead before Adam and Eve were created, fully satisfied in that relationship, but looking to invite man into that. And so obviously Adam and Eve were created, and there was this, we can imagine, we talk about it, that they're walking in fellowship, in the cool of the day, God and Adam and Eve. And this is the goal, is to restore that relationship that was broken. We were made not only to be image bearers, to reflect him. We were made in his image, and obviously to the world to reflect, okay, we are his children, but we're also made to dwell in this unbroken fellowship. That is something the Father wants. And sometimes, I know we know these words, but I just want you to think about this for a minute. So yes, we were made to be ambassadors of him. So we have there's something we're here to do, and he made us to reflect his glory in the earth. But what really impacts me, and I think because we're relational beings, is the fact that, yes, this is true. But even before that is the idea that, like, hey, I really like you. God is saying, I like you. I love you. I want to be with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to commune with you. I want to interchange the fullest expression of love, that I'm going to give you my love. And as a result of the my love that I'm going to give you in the spirit within you, you're actually going to have the capacity to take that love that I've given you and love me back, right? That this is the foundation that the other things are being built on. And then in that foundation of love, then we're reflecting him. We're reflecting that glory. Like, in our relationships right now, if we think about our kids or our spouse, like, we would really like for our kids somebody to say, oh, look at your children. I can see that they really reflect you and the things you've taught them. And that's like a great thing. And we like to hear that as moms and dads, right? But really what we, more than anything, is not just looking for maybe the acknowledgement or the admiration of those around, but we're just like, I just love my child. I want to be with them. I want to fellowship with them. I want that relationship with them. And I'm glad that they reflect that relationship. And that is a beautiful thing. But at the base of that is just, oh, yes, I love to be with them. And and to keep coming back to this reality that the enemy doesn't want us to encounter within our faith, within Christianity, within churches, is just the fact that, man, the Father wants to be with us. He wants to fellowship with us. He died to not just make a way for us to be saved, but to have this ongoing communion without separation, just like what's happening in the Godhead between Father the Son, Father God, and the Holy Spirit. And my words cannot really adequately communicate the depth of that, but he's inviting us to understand it. And so one of the best things that we can do is just really ask the Lord for more revelation about that love within the Trinity Godhead, and then how that same love is reflected towards us. Because it isn't, the love within the Godhead is not a different version. It's not like, well, that's within Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, Trinity. But the love that the Father has for me in that, in the Spirit and Jesus, that's kind of a smaller version of the above. Nope, it's the same thing, exact same thing. So this is the full expression of love within the Godhead that God is calling us to. So I'm going to come back to this foundational verse. You can look at it if you want to in your Bibles, but it's John 15:9. And what I really like about the New King James Version is that the subtitle above John 15:9 is love and joy perfected. So I read that and I interpret that as, this is the key. You want to have love and joy perfected? All right, sit back, get ready. This is it. This is where love and joy get perfected. Here it is. As the Father loved me, also, I have loved you. Abide in my love. As the Father has loved me. So Jesus is saying this to his disciples. And who else is he saying it to? Us. He's saying it to us. As the Father has loved me, right? This incredible love between me and the Father. And you've seen this love that the Father's had for me. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples, right? And he's demonstrated this in the things that he's done in the earth and the supernatural love that he's walked in. And right? God made manifest in the life of Jesus. He's saying, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. I've also loved you. And you ready? Next is, okay, this love. Here's the information. This love to me, just like I've loved you, now here's what you need to do. You need to abide in this love. You've got to abide in it. This is this is so central to all of Christianity. It is so central to the days that we're living. It is so central to our day-to-day relationship with him. And we're so used to, so many phrases within Christianity we just say over and over again. But we just have to really come to them and mind them out and ask, Lord, I need greater revelation about what this means. Because I'm going to give you some of the history about what was happening prior to that verse, just so we can kind of really get our minds ready to receive the magnitude of this message that was being sent here. So his love, and I said this earlier, it is expressed in its complete fullness. It's not partial. It's not dialed down. When we don't feel the fullness of God's love, does anybody here feel like they feel the fullness of God's love? Anybody? No. We don't feel the fullness of God's love. But is that because there's a limited supply or he's holding back on us? No, it's not. It has nothing to do with the fullness of it. He cannot love partially. He cannot say, well, let me put my love dial and dial it down a little bit, depending on who I'm loving. It's like his love is full throttle within the Godhead and for us every single time. So it's what happens is if we're not experiencing the fullness of God's love, it's because of things that we do that result in the separation from his intense burning love. And that's one of the things. And I would also say that what I think that one of the reasons why we don't feel the fullness of his intense burning love is because of our brokenness. Our brokenness really impedes our ability to encounter the love of God in a deeper way. I think this is the reason why you see some people that are like, I really feel like I identify with the love of Jesus, but the love of the Father, that's really hard for me to get my head around. And where there's other people that really have a better chance of getting their head wrapped around the love of a father. And a lot of it has to do with the relationship situation. I read a book not that long ago, which was wonderful, by Bilqis Sheikh, and she was a Pakistani Muslim, and the book was called I Dared to Call Him Father. And when she encountered several encounters until she came into the knowledge of Christ, but she was really actually able to quickly, adapt this relationship of who God was as an Abba Father, even though this is contrary to what Muslim teaching really teaches as a gentle father, but because she had one. She had a really doting, gentle, loving, providing father. And so she was really able to really more easily grasp this notion of the Father's love for her. So these are things that impede. And I actually want to take some time to go through these, but I just don't think I'm going to get to it today. But be aware of that, you know, it is, sometimes it's things that we do, and sometimes it's just, it's our brokenness and our limited capacity. And so just really quickly to touch on those two things today, I would just say, first of all, we want to stay in this conversation with the Lord if we're feeling not super connected with the Lord, to be able to say, Lord, is there anything that I am doing that is separating my connection from you? Is there something in terms of, sin that I know about, or maybe even just unknown sin or indifference or doubt, or just things like, this is not talking about committing some major sin, but it's just this, maybe the sin of indifference, or the sin of I'm doubting what the Lord has to say, or I'm not consecrating my relationship with him. I mean, there's a number of things. I just ask the Lord and keep asking him, because we want to be in a place where we don't want a diminished relationship with him. If we're not in this abiding, connected relationship, then we want to know why, because John 15:9, the title, love and joy perfected. hey, I want to sign up for that every day, don't you? So if we're not, then it's like, what's going on here, Lord? Hey, what's going on? And it could be that there's just brokenness there in you, and the way you're responding to that brokenness, the way that I respond to the brokenness, is actually inhibiting the Lord's ability to really penetrate our heart with his deep, burning love for us. And so just a great question to ask in that is just yearning before the Lord and say, Lord, increase my capacity to experience your love for me. That's just a beautiful prayer to keep praying. So, because he really wants to remove all the things that diminish our capacity to encounter him. He wants to heal our brokenness, and he wants to increase our capacity to feel this life-changing, burning love. He's calling us to abide in that. But he knows that we can't, he also knows that we can't survive without it. I'm going to read John 15:9 again. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. So what should we do? Abide. Abide in his love. So let me give some context for this. And I think we know it, but this is kind of going to be a reminder for you. But if we go to John 13, John is describing the events prior to his crucifixion. I'm going to read just verse 1. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So this is the feast of Passover, and Jesus knew that his hour was come. It was his time. He's telling his disciples, okay, this is the hour. It's come. I'm going. Can you imagine what that was like for them? First of all, I think for me, I would have been like, wait, what? That must not be really what you're saying. I'm not sure if I'm understanding that. But this was an intense night, you know. It was an emotional night. This is the night that Jesus washed the disciples' feet. If we jump down to verses 33 and 34, he says, little children, just think about that for a minute, right? Here he is. He has been their spiritual leader for all of these years, and he's the moment of like, it's like I picture a parent that takes their little child with their two hands on their face to get their eye contact. I need to tell you something really important. Here it is. You ready? Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will see me, seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, even though we're going to find that this is coming later, right? About, because this is this whole instruction, and this will be another week, but like, as I've loved you, love one another. They can't do that without John 15:9, to abide in his love. So Jesus is trying to break it down for them. He's going. Keep reading. Jump to John 14:1-2. Let not your heart be troubled. So, well, I mean, he's like, okay, maybe this is registering now. I'm going. And they're like, can you imagine? Like the expressions on their faces. What's going on? He's like, don't be troubled. Listen to me. Don't be troubled. You believe in God. Right? You believe in God, you've been following him. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, he's given him some revelation about the future. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So now it's like sinking in, like, wait, oh, you are talking about a different place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. We're not going to stay separated forever. I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm going to go, but I am coming back, and I'm going to bring you so that you can be where I am also. He just explained to them, that would have been hard to swallow, hard to understand how, where you go, and you can, we're not going to go through, but you can see the subsequent question. No, his disciples like, no, wait, we don't actually know where you're going. can you explain this further? And then he goes on and talks about that, you know, he and the Father are one. And so they couldn't follow from then on. And at that point in time, the message for them is that they were going to be him as his ambassadors in a broken, hostile world around them. They were going to be his ambassadors, you know, when just short time after the death and the resurrection, they were going to be the most wanted people in Jerusalem, right? James would be beheaded. They were hanging on every word. They were waiting for Jesus to tell them what to do next. They were waiting for him to tell them how to survive. How were they going to continue this mission of his coming kingdom? They were scared. They felt inadequate. They felt overwhelmed, I'm sure, right? And as I said, he went on to explain that he and the Father are one. And in John 14, 15 through 16, he told them that if they love him and keep his commandments, he would pray to the Father and the Father would give them the helper. Who is who? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would be the conduit to be able to allow that abiding relationship continue. John 15:9. Well, I'm jumping to John 17:24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am. So this conversation is continuing where he's giving them all these instructions, and then he turns and says to his Father, he's telling them, okay, this is how this is gonna go down. I'm gonna pray to the Father. If you obey, keep my commandments, I'm going to ask the Father to give you a helper. That helper is going to be the conduit of you doing John 15:9, which is abiding in me. Abiding in me is how you're going to continue to walk through some things that you can't even imagine at this point in time. To walk through persecution and confusion and misunderstanding. And then after he does all that, he's asking the Father, Father, I desire these ones that you gave me, that they would be with me where I'm at. I know I'm going to go be with you, but I love these guys, and I want them to come be with me where I'm at. So he's praying for them. John 14:3, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This message of John 15:9, this was the answer for the disciples then, and it's still the answer for us today. He longs for us to be with him where he's at, but until that final consummation comes, he's saying, we can't actually be separated, or you're not going to be able to do this, because like I'm going to leave and I'm one man, but it's better for you that I go, because you're going to have the Holy Spirit that's going to indwell all of you, and this is the only way you're going to make it. This is the only way you're going to be able to stay faithful up until this time that we have this reunion where we're going to come back together again. So he's inviting us to go deep into it, to stay focused in on it, to gaze on his beautiful love, to let it strengthen us, to let it sustain us, because actually we can't be sustained and we can't stay strong and we can't walk and we can't do diddly without it. Nothing. That's why it's so important that I just feel like I just want to keep coming. Heck, Lord, I need to abide in more of you. I need more of you, more depth of your love, your burning love. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2 describes us as his beloved children that he instructed to walk in his love. Do you act in your relationship with the Lord like you're a child? Are you just kind of like, do you? Matt, think about your day-to-day activities and the things that you're doing, because we are all like, we're in a society that's built upon being competent, being capable, but, you know, do we imagine ourselves as this child that is walking with our dad, and he's reaching down, and he's holding our hand, and he's leading us, and, you know, it just helps me, to kind of look at it that way. He is the answer. He's the love and the joy that is perfected in us. And we can't actually ever get love and joy perfected in us apart from that continual uninterrupted by the relationship with him. His love is motivated by his grace, and he is gracious to us because he loves us. God's love is his heart and his soul. So just kind of going back again, that if we look at this, all the things that we focus in on in our life as believers, if we could just keep coming back to this center of his love, because it's virtually ground zero of everything he feels about us and does for us, is his love for us. It's at the center of everything, because love is not just one of his attributes, but 1 John 14:4-6 says he is love. That is him. Whatever the struggle that you're being faced with, whatever struggle that I'm being faced with, whatever challenges in front of us, whatever things are coming before, you know, the last days of the most intense time that the earth will ever experience, and we see it happening all around us, the only way to go forward is to abide in the love of our Heavenly Father. Ephesians 3:17 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Does that sound like abiding? That would be another way of saying abiding. Being rooted and grounded. I'm planted deep in it. God's love is, I've got the roots of my mind, will, and emotions that are deeply rooted in the soil of his love. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I just like the simplicity of distilling it down to the fact that I need to bask in the love of the Father. It's the solution to everything. I need to bask in it. I need to bask in the love of the Father so that I can have perspective, because I cannot see things right from my own perspective. I need the love of the Father to see situations and circumstances and challenges and struggles from his perspective. I need to bask in the love of the Father so that I can have hope. Otherwise, situations look hopeless to me. I need to bask in the love of the Father so that I can obey him, because I actually really cannot not doubt, and I cannot not be fearful, and can I not be angry without the love of the Father. I want to bask in the love of the Father so that I can have confidence, and it's just knowing, oh, he's so good, so that when I don't get what's happening, I can be confident that he really means it when he said he's working all things together for the good of me, those who love him. I can bask in his love and not look at it from the perspective of, okay, I've ruined everything. All right, I'm never going to get this situation right here, or there's this challenge and it's never going to go away, or it's always going to be this way. I need his perspective in order to break out of those different things. He's the only one that can make me new. He's the only one that can fill me up. I need to bask in the love of the Father so that when I'm suffering, when I'm treated unjustly, when there's strongholds in my life that feel like they're taking a lifetime to work through, that when I'm reeling from the enemy attacks, when I'm struggling in relationships, when I'm struggling to get victory over fear, shame, rejection, me, you, all of us, right? I need to know that he's good, and that the answer to all of that junk is I got to keep coming back and getting more of his love in me. Because the only thing that's going to cause me to be fully formed in Jesus Christ is what? His love. I've got to get his love all the way in, from the inside all the way to the outside. I've got to take the love that he gave me, that Holy Spirit deposit of love that's there in the middle, and I have to keep reaching for it, seeking, knocking, asking, and letting that deposit of love actually grow and radiate from the inside of my spirit out to my mind, will, and emotions, and then out to my flesh. And we say this in different ways, but it's just like, it's still the answer, and it's still just a reminder of the only way we're going to make it is by abiding in his love. Like I said earlier, just it blows my mind that God loves us with the same intensity that is the love within the Trinity, that the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Spirit, and the Spirit loves the Father with the same level of love that he has for me. Whoa. Like, I can't even, it's like the glory of God. You can't even, it's too bright. Can't even stand to gaze to look at it. God loves his people with all of his heart, all of his mind, all of his strength. The Holy Spirit loves us with all of his heart, soul, and mind. I'm supposed to let the Lord take me deeper in this. John 17:23, I in them, this is the description of this, which is so beautiful. John 17:23, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. There's going to come a time when the Lord's glory is demonstrated to the whole earth. He's going to come in glory, and the whole earth is going to know him who split the sky, is the Messiah. But the other glory will be the glory in his people. It'll be the glory of his children in the earth, the bright light, right? So he's full of glory, but he's actually wanting us to be full of that glory. That's what that fully formed Jesus in me, more of him, less of me. I'm wanting to get brighter every single day. It's a good picture to look at it like, okay, am I getting darker? Am I getting lighter? And I cannot get lighter by myself. I can't get it lighter. I can't get lighter by trying harder. I can't get lighter by going to more prayer sets. I can't get lighter by reading the Bible more. I can't get the lighter by doing by giving more money. Now, these are all things that are expressions of just letting the leadership of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit says, do this, do that, do this, then you do all those things, and you're getting lighter, but you're not getting lighter because of the things you did. You're getting lighter because you're letting the Spirit have more leadership in your heart. That's where the brightness is coming from. Not us dictating, well, this is the list that I'm going to go down, and then this is the list that's going to actually get me lighter. The list will never get us lighter. That is, just do it Christianity. That exists throughout Christianity all over the place. These are the things. Some of the things that we can do can help facilitate, but they're facilitating a opportunity to get into an abiding relationship with the Lord. It's really important to distinguish those two things. I know we talk about it on a regular basis. I don't know about you, but I'm interested where this whole thing, back to John 5:9, joy and love perfected. I'm interested in arriving at perfect love that casts out all fear. How about you? I am interested in arriving at perfect love that covers a multitude of sins. Like, I want that. I want to be able to look at those that I'm in relationship with, and, you know, even when I'm hurt, like, I love you, because the love of Christ is overflowing from the inside of me. I want to be so full of the love that when the enemy's attacks are coming from the outside, which usually do come from the outside, because it's, you know, our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities. And so the warfare that's coming from the outside is the enemy attack, but it just looks like flesh. And so, like, I want to be so perfect with that love. That light is so filled in me. The light is so filled in you that's where the enemy's arrows are falling back, because it's like, what can man do to me? Because the reality is that I'm living in the reality of the light of the abiding relationship with my Father. This sounds good, but lives hard. So I'm not talking about something like, wouldn't you love to be bright like me? Because I'm not, but I want to be. I want to be a lot brighter than I am. That's why I'm looking at why and what's the process for getting me there. And it's like, I need more of God's love in my heart, because that's what changes everything. Satan's weapons consist of things like fear, anxiety, anger, doubt, impatience, self-pity, wrong thoughts. So many wrong thoughts. It's really good to just take a minute and think, wait, okay, what am I thinking about right now? Like, this is why we got to take our thoughts captive. What am I thinking about right now? And then just ask yourself the question, does this seem like a God thought? Does this seem like something Jesus would be thinking? And no. Or like, you're looking for revelation about a thing. You know, the thing is, if the thing that you're looking for revelation about is in impatience and fear and anger, like, no, that's not from the Holy Spirit. That can be our first litmus test of it. So examining our thoughts is really an important thing. When we look at the enemy's weapons, the presence of these weapons that I just described, fear, anxiety, anger, doubt, impatience, self-pity, these different, there's a lot more than that, but the presence of these weapons in our mind and our emotions, they're indications that we've gotten disconnected from the Holy Spirit. The sooner we figure it out, it happens hundreds of times a day, but the best thing we could do is just identify it quickly, like an airplane that realizes, oh, I'm off course, let me get back. Yep. Oh, look, I'm drifting again, back to where I need to be. Like these adjustments that we make in a vehicle, thousands of them, when we're driving, when we know I'm drifting to the right, drifting to the left, you know, I've got to be really sober in the way that, and vigilant in keeping my thoughts connected to the Lord. The more peace we have is an indication of our connection, that our connection is strong. Would you agree with that? The more peace I have, the more patience I have, the more, you know, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, that is a sure sign that I am abiding and I'm staying connected to the Lord. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, Satan was saying all kinds of things from the outside. He's got all kinds of things. Why don't you turn this stone into a bread, right? But he refused to be influenced by any other voice than the voice of God. I'm just going to pray for a minute about that. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to stay connected to you so that we reflect the fruit of peace in spite of our circumstances. Lord, would you help us to not be influenced by any other voice other than you? Lord, as confusion is increasing all around us, would you keep us seeking and knocking and asking you to help us? We're desperately in need of your serenity that can only come by you. We don't want to be influenced by any other voice other than yours. We need your help, Jesus. Amen. Continuing on, Jesus knew his disciples were going to undergo some incredible trials, right? According to Christian tradition, all of the disciples were martyred, except for the failed attempt on John. And they went through some serious tribulation. According to right now, as we look at the increase in persecution throughout the earth, going back to Fox's Book of Martyrs, there's a whole bunch of faithful witnesses that abided in his love so that they could stand and not shrink back in the day of adversity. The Bible says that if you shrink back in the day of adversity, your faith is weak. Like, my faith grows stronger. My faith is based upon my confidence in the love of God and my experience in it. The oil in my lamp is my experience that I've experienced the love of God. I know that I know that I know that I know that he loves me. I know that I know that he's for me. I've seen him work in circumstance after circumstance. I've got this oil, this confidence. So when the dark night comes, it actually takes me through, because, you know, the lie is out there that he's not, that he's unfaithful. I'm I'm gonna share like the lyrics of a song in a few minutes here related to that, because I just think it's so good. If you'll go with me to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So somebody that says the Lord is my shepherd is somebody that is abiding, right? I shall not want. I don't have any need because I got him. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That all sounds pretty good. He restores my soul, because my soul needs restoring. How about yours? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, because I can't do anything right apart from abiding in him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I'm perfected in his love. Perfect love casts out all fear. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So here's where the struggles come in, the trials come in, right? You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He's the one who did it. Who prepared the table? The Father. But you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Oh, that abiding presence. It's running over. It's spilling over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I'm not going to get disconnected all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Looking at verse 4 for a minute, even if I walk through the valley of death, there is a place of walking with God where you simply fear no evil. This is the thing that when I think about Christian martyrs, I mean, and when you read stories about them, like, they reach this point where they're like, Stephen, like, I'm so lovesick. Look, I see him, I feel him, I walk with him, I see him. Yeah, you're throwing some stones at me, but I'm like, the glory of what I'm looking at and what I'm experiencing right here, and I'm about ready to consummate like this connection with my Father, that is nothing compared to these stones that are hitting my body. This is the kind of strength of abiding connection that we need in order to endure a long, dark night. So there is this place of walking where God, where you simply fear no evil. I'm not there yet, but I want to be. And the answer is for me to keep asking, knocking, and seeking, and staying in that abiding relationship. You know, David's enemies included a lion and a bear and a giant and a King Saul. You know, he stood in the shadow of death, but he feared no evil. And he was like, God's got me. He's got me. That was his testimony to Saul when he said, here, I'll go out there and take that giant, because let me tell you something. Here is my abiding relationship with the Lord all that time, playing my harp, doing the Tabernacle of David out in the field. Here's what I know. The more time I spent with the Lord as I worshiped him, the more revelation I got of who he was. The more revelation I got of who he was, the more I worshiped him. The more I worshiped him, the more revelation I got of who he is. The more revelation I got of who he is, the more I worshiped him. And he filled me with the oil of revelation of who he is as I abided in him. And that time that I spent as a youth and worshiping and continuing to worship him filled me with what took me forward into knowing that the only way that I could be king is by letting God be king. And this is what he wants us to know, that the only way he can take us forward in a long, dark night is that we're having that time, just like David did, with that fellowship, that communing, that abiding, that time of worship and revelation, and letting that filter and connect to all of the other decisions that he'd make. So he went to Saul and he was like, hey, guess what? This situation looks bad, but let me tell you something. I have some oil here from abiding in the Lord, and I've got some history with lions and bears and some other stuff, and I don't have to worry about it. I'm not the one who does it. God does it in me, and this Goliath is going down. David continued in verse 5, you prepared a table for me. In other words, he was like, God prepared that table, right? Goliath there. Israel, was he testing Israel? Was he allowing Israel's enemies to defeat them? That's what the Bible says over and over and over again. He allowed the enemies of Israel to subdue them because of their sin. He allowed it. He set that table. But if we trust him and obedient in the middle of that table, he's going to overcome. So David said, even though you prepare a table for me before my enemies, but my cup runneth over. Your goodness and mercy follow me, because I'm with you all the days of my life. So what happens when we think about that situation, the table, you know, that were set in our enemies, it could be the table of struggle, the table of trial, the table of tribulation, the table of uncertainty, of confusion, of pain, of suffering, of grief, of anger, of indifference. That table, like, God can actually turn that table around. The battle, that table, and that really was like that battle that we're in, that can actually soon become a meal to us. We can be in the presence like of enemies, but still in that table, his cup runneth over for us. The experience that we might be struggling in right now, or that we're coming into, that actually trusting him in the middle of that will actually nourish us and build us spiritually in the future. The Lord is going to take this, your family, the relationships with our kids, with our extended family, this body, he's going to take us forward. He knows what he's doing. He's got this. He just wants us to keep trusting him. Only abiding in him is going to give us the peace. Only abiding him will allow us to subdue our fleshly reactions in the middle of battle. He's never worried. He's never in a hurry. He never doesn't have the answer. All of the victories that we're going to have are going to be an overflow out of abiding in a relationship with him. So I'm going to pray and close this out. Lord, we thank you that you know what we need. You know what we need. You were telling your disciples and you're telling us, hey, you can't do this without me. I'm going to ask the Father. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. And you need to stay connected in that relationship with that Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is the seal, the connection between us until the day of redemption. Till we're changed in the twinkling of an eye. Till these bodies are changed. Till we're glorified. Heavenly Father, thank you that you don't leave us as orphans. Just like you left those, you told the disciples, you're going to be better off. You're going to be in a better spot when the Holy Spirit comes than even with me being here with you. Heavenly Father, would you keep us in pursuit of your leadership? Would you keep us in pursuit of your presence? Would you keep us asking you for greater revelations of your love for us? We're asking for more encounter with you. We're asking for you to wreck us with encounter, with the encounter of your love. We're asking for dreams. We're asking for visions. We're asking for supernatural revelation of who you are so that we know that you're with us. Lord, for some that are feeling dry and they just don't feel like they've ever had an encounter with you, I pray they would have encounter with you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they would know your nearness. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they would be like Samuel, where you came to said Samuel, you came and approached him. And Samuel said, here I am, Lord. I'm your servant listening. We want to hear your voice, Lord Jesus. We want more of you. We don't want to be satisfied with where we're at right now. We want to know anything that's hindering us from being in a deeper, abiding relationship with you. Lord, we don't want to be satisfied without being completely on fire because your burning love is piercing our hearts. Lord, we are dull without it. We're hopeless without it. Would you increase our yearning for you, our desire for you? Jesus' name, amen.